Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It was now many years ago, after I believe a crushing loss to Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken, that James Franklin told the world we're a great football program, but not one of the elite programs, and intimated that he needed more university support. Well, all these years later, here we are, and Franklin said before the season, this is the best staff he's had. Clearly, the university has stepped up. They made their coordinators, I believe, combined the highest paid coordinators ever. Certainly Jim Knowles on the defensive end. They got him stolen, basically, although he made himself available. The highest paid defensive coordinator ever, Andy Kotelnicki on the offensive end. You have a quarterback that people thought was going to play his way into a high first round status. You had a schedule that seemed to lend itself to a giant, giant year. And now this. It's one thing to lose to Oregon, although that, again, followed a similar pattern of James Franklin in big games where they seem unprepared early and then are scrambling late and lose the game. But, man, if you're not going to win those games, the biggest of games, you better win all the little games. And he did. He literally won all of them in recent years, except for Saturday. This was an epic disaster, Bob. You could have made a case for firing him at halftime, especially after the way the final 2 minutes went in the first half. Was it Nessler doing the game?
Yeah, Brad Nessler. Yeah,
he said he hadn't seen anything this weird in 10 years.
No, it was terrible.
And I agreed. So the question becomes now, should James Franklin have been fired? And I know the buyout's huge. It's over $50 million right now. It'll be something like $46, $48 after the season. It's gigantic. Let's take that out of the equation right now. Should he have been fired, all things being equal, right after that game? We've seen coaches in college football left on the tarmac. And if things keep going this way, let's say they don't make the playoff. Let's say they win 9 games or something. Should he be fired after the season?
I would go with after the season, only because there's enough consternation in the middle of the season. They still have potential in front of them. They have to run the table, I think. But I also think that if you did it now, it costs you more. Plus, I think it just throws everything in disarray because there's no margin for error right now. And you have more proof if you wait. If he beats Ohio State and Indiana back-to-back, which is highly unlikely, but if he does, that's his reprieve, and that's what will get him into a playoff again.
Will it?
I think so. If they got to run the table, though. Two losses.
Not so sure that it would, but I do agree with your premise that I think James Franklin has done enough right, and I'm not a huge Franklin backer, but he's done enough right.
Right.
To where he didn't deserve to be fired after that game.
I know one
he
guy who disagrees with you. He deserves
a chance to coach the rest of this season. But if they don't make the playoff, Bob, I think they need to move on.
They need to win out. If they win out, then he continues to coach. If they don't, he doesn't. But I wouldn't do it now for a lot
All right,
of
Limits. You're a Penn State guy. The floor is yours.
Guys, this is the most embarrassing loss in the 138-year history of Penn State football. It was that bad. And this is rock bottom for the James Franklin era, by far.
Was it worse than West Virginia's 13-9, 28-point spread?
25 and a half in this one.
Yeah, 25 and a half. It's similar, But this was for a national championship.
The first top 10 team to lose to an 0-4 team in 40 years.
Yeah, I saw that. It was stunning.
Limits was
BYU in 85.
You were minus 17 years old at that point.
I was. And the fact of the matter that what drove me absolutely insane in this game is that Penn State and James Franklin were out-coached by a team with no coaches.
No coaches.
No coaches.
A guy who never called no coaches. A game plan. New guys who never called a game plan, and here he is calling a game plan.
They fired their head coach weeks ago. They fired the defensive coordinator 2 weeks ago.
Their offensive coordinator looks like Rapunzel.
Tino Sinceri was their offensive coordinator. He was fired this week. Neuheisel had 2 days to put together a game plan, and he ran circles around Jim Knowles, all $3 million of Jim Knowles' defense.
That's the
all
most
$3 million.
So what's your
and
bottom
they
line
it down
here?
Their mouth.
They really did. That's the other thing, Bob. This was not fluky. Let me make sure I have this right. 446 total yards to 357 for Penn State. There was nothing fluky about it.
Tremendous.
They were grotesquely outcoached in the game. And the end of that half, I'm not sure that I could make a huge argument for them firing him after that game, honestly, and leaving him in California.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd have a great argument. It just happens to be my belief that he's done enough to be able to coach the rest of the season. That was a fireable offense, what happened at the end of the first half. You can't even argue at the end of the game. What the hell were they doing with 2 minutes left in the half? What are they doing? They're letting time run.
Right.
They lose 40 seconds.
Stuff there.
Yeah, they're still at like the 40-yard line, and it's down under 40 seconds with three timeouts.
Yeah.
And then they're disorganized, and they're finally calling a timeout after 30 seconds run off the clock, and the announcers of Danielson and Nestler were like, what are they doing?
Yeah, it was very obvious that they had no idea what they were doing. And that's the thing. This is a highly paid coaching staff that should know these things, especially against – what was UCLA, 0-12 in their previous 12 games?
Yes.
Here's another.
They hadn't led all season, not even for a second, and they led the entirety of the game.
So I saw this stat coming in, and this will support everything you're saying. Coming into that game, they were out of 136 FBS teams. They were 134th in scoring, 119th in offense, 119th in defense, 133rd in rushing defense, 129th in sacks, 136 in opponent third down rate. If you look at all the things that happened in that game, it made UCLA look like they were the best in this category. Every single one of them.
If you're almost never going to win big games, you have to win every single one of them. So limits,
and even if it's ugly, just win the game.
Yes. What's your bottom line here?
The bottom line for me, this is rock bottom. There's legitimately no coming back from this for James.
But would you do it now?
I would not do it now because, look, you still do have Ohio State. You still do have Indiana. I don't think anybody logical thinks that they're going to win those
You're
games.
You're saying that they've hit rock bottom. You're absolutely ripping him to shreds. Why not just fire him now then?
I would be completely fine if they just said, you know what?
I thought that's what you were going to say.
I want them to fire him. I don't think they ultimately will at the moment. They have to find all this $56 million. It's $48 at the end of January or whatever if they do want to buy him out. I would have fired him personally myself. There's no doubt about it. Be done with it.
No.
I still have a little bit of me that does say if they find a way to beat Ohio State, beat Indiana, which nobody logical.
But this is the
happen,
last straw.
They could get in.
They have every reason. They'll have the evidence. They already do if you look at his numbers against, top 10 teams. They have the evidence, but this will be the nail in the coffin. If he goes through the rest of the season and wins these games, including Ohio State and Indiana, then you'll say, okay, we're not going to make that move. But if he doesn't, if he loses one of them or another game along the way, then I think the move is made at the end of the season.
And this is the most turned the fan base has ever been. Like, disgust and frustration has turned to complete anger. And the stadium on Saturday, even alumni, like former players of Franklin, are coming out and calling out all this BS. It's gotten bad.
Well,
one
thing to think about is who would you make the head coach? Certainly not either of the coordinators.
No.
That's the problem.
What if Clemson moves on from Dabo Swinney?
They're in the same boat.
You consider that? I know Dabo hasn't really embraced NIL. He doesn't like the portal. Well,
recently,
Dabo, you're going to have to.
Recently, he's brought in some players.
You're going to need to, but that's the type of guy that has won a national championship, has proven it, and has got the job done, basically everything that Franklin hasn't been able to.
What are the chances they make the playoff if they run the table? What percent would you put on that?
I think they're good. I saw last year what happened with even Ohio State last year. There are a lot of people.
Yeah, there were several two-loss teams that got in.
So I think because there's 12. And if They beat Ohio State and Indiana, both ranked teams. Ohio State could be number one by then.
Clemson lost three, but they won the ACC championship right. game. Do you get into right. the Big Ten championship game
if you're on the table?
If you have two conference losses, do you think?
I highly doubt it because Ohio State's going to probably just have one. Like, let's say Penn State does beat them, and Oregon's going to get in there. Oregon's schedule the rest of the way other than Indiana this week is pretty soft.
But if they beat right. Ohio State
so,
and Indiana.
So that's what I'm saying. Are they going to be an at-large two-loss team to get in?
I think they can be, but I put it right around 65-75%. And here's another thing that drives me absolutely insane. The non-conference schedule. If you would schedule one Power 4 opponent, them and Texas don't have a Power 4 win this year.
No, that's why they're both out of the rankings.
The one
and two. Despite being highly ranked to start the season.
Ranked teams at the start of the year have not won a Power 4 game.
Pitt fans,
how is that possible?
Pitt fans have to be reveling in
there's
this.
No doubt.
This is a five-alarm fire here with Penn State.
It is.
This is a disaster.
And I just, for the life of me, I just don't understand how they can start the game the way it started the game and the first half the way it ended the game. It's almost as if they just, even the coaching staff, did not take this seriously enough.
No.
You know, they came into it and they let UCLA, a team that you should have gone right for their jugular right at the beginning of the game. They also take too long to warm up to their offense. What about coming out and just becoming aggressive?
What about
right
letting
off the bat?
Drew
just
Aller
say, Drew
play?
Aller,
well, what's
you're
the deal
guy.
With that?
Let him throw the ball all over the place.
They don't
the ball.
Trust him even at the end.
No.
They call for a keeper. When are they going to trust this kid's arm? And just now they have nothing to lose. Now, if I'm Penn State, if I'm Franklin, I'm ordering this from Kotelniki to implement an offense where let's live and die on Drew Aller's arm and let him cut it loose. Let's go here.
Well, in Kotelniki's offense, they're not catering to Drew Aller. It's, all right, here's another read option. Here's another jet sweep to make
right.
Matt Canada
That's
proud.
That's what I'm saying.
They should just let Aller go around and sling it around the yard. And I thought that this was going to be the game that they do it against the UCLA defense.
Right. If you're ever
not that
do
good.
It, do it this week. Build up some confidence in that department moving forward. And
listen
I was
to this.
Totally shocked the way they handled that game offensively.
My stepson, Michael, Penn State guy, tweeted me or texted me this from Tyler Donahue, whoever that is. Maybe he's related to Phil Donahue.
He's a reporter.
Remember that show?
Yes.
Bob?
Covers the team.
Is he the best talk show host ever, do you think? Television talk show?
I liked his hair.
Is it Oprah? Is it him? Is it Johnny Carson? Who is it?
Johnny Carson.
It's not really
name.
A talk show.
Johnny Carson was the best, I thought.
Yeah.
He really was.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That was when the Tonight Show was back, and it was just pure fun every night.
Limits, do you even know who Phil Donahue is?
No.
That's okay. Here's the tweet from Tyler Donahue. This is unbelievable, by the way. Penn State's last three recruiting classes, 2023-25, included 8 wide receivers. Only one owns a catch in a college game, and that's 4 for current redshirt freshman Tysier Denmark. Injuries play a role, and PSU added 6 transfers, but those are rough results for, quote, homegrown talent. What about that?
It's 100% true. And they've tried, whether it be the 26, 27 recruiting class, basically to go out full stop and full stop, period. I sound like Travis Williams
full
now.
Stop. That word is going to come back to haunt him.
You know what we underestimated?
Receivers.
You know what we underestimated, Limits?
What's that?
That in their own ways, Tyler Warren and Abdul Carter were kind
yes.
of, I won't say generational, but transformational players. Tyler Warren, they showed clips from last year. He did everything for them.
He's 7th in the Heisman voting.
I think we all underestimated the gravity of those two losses.
No doubt.
No question. They are generational people. By the way, Brandon Nichols tweets, for what it's worth, Penn State is +600 to make the playoffs, -900 to miss. So,
oh, I mean, well,
That's because we're talking about if they run the table, they got to go into Columbus.
When's the last
time
they
not going to beat Ohio State? He's already been out coached for that game, and they haven't even started game planning
yet. Unless they go into it with a completely ride Aller approach. We're just going to go throw the ball as much as we can on that team, shock them with a no huddle, quick, boom.
They have no idea what to do with this. Is it more on the quarterback or the scheme?
I think it's more the scheme. Like, sure, Aller has not played well.
I don't think he was used enough in that game.
I don't know that it's totally that's letting him off the hook. He's thrown some really bad interceptions at the ends of big games. And here's the thing about him. And who was I comparing him to? Now I can't remember. But it was someone who had more of a freedom and looseness to the game. Maybe it was Drake May. But it's unfair because he's in the pros right now. But here's a dude who exudes a certain confidence and has a certain limberness or looseness or freedom to his game. And Aller, and it could be because of the coaching, I acknowledge that, has a certain stiffness and lack of confidence to his game. It's the opposite. You know what I mean? There's nothing about him that says, I'm here, I'm the man, we're going to cut it loose, I'm a gunslinger, and here we go. There's nothing about him that has ever screamed that at Penn
State.
But
a coach could put you into that pigeonholed area where don't make mistakes, keep this here, just hand the ball off.
For sure.
And then all of a sudden, if you do have that swagger, you can't do it the way you want to do it because he's telling you something differently. Yeah. I thought their game plan sucked going into that game offensively. I would have expected unleash against all those numbers I told you. Their passing defense is rotten. Oh, UCLA hasn't stopped anyone, and you go in there and just sort of warm up to the task. Terrible.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 6 matchup between the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So, all right, that's one story. The other one is Mason, and I keep saying his name wrong.
Heinzel.
I want to say Heinzel, but it's Heinzel.
Like Tommy Heinzen.
But Bob, how do you say it? Heinzel.
Heinzel.
This kid's unbelievable. Now, he's only played one game, and it was against Boston College. Limits, I want your input on this as well. Where are you going? Why did Limits get up and walk away, Bob?
Because he has to man the organ over there.
That didn't sound right, but yes, he does. What does he have to do?
Man the organ.
I know.
It looks like an organ in there. He's like a maestro.
So I don't want to go crazy here. I don't want to lose my mind at all because that would be as unfair as, you know, writing the final word on Drew Aller. This kid's played one game. He was a surprise starter. But he was spectacular. He's throwing balls off platform all day long. He does have a certain cockiness, and I mean that in a good way, a good sports way, about him. He reminded me, in this game at least, again, please, Bob, I don't want to be painted as someone who's lost his mind and gone overboard. I saw some Johnny Football there. He's 2 inches taller than Johnny Football. But this kid was wildly exciting to watch. What did you think of him? I think they may have a guy here.
I think now after watching him, and apparently he was good in training camp all the way, I think they were in a tough spot because they had given all the NIL money to Eli Holstein, and they were going to ride him until they didn't have to ride him anymore. And this kid was making himself available in practice with very good reviews that people who watched his practices during the training camp and early in the season were saying, hey, he can handle this. And so I guess Pat Narduzzi, when he sensed an opportunity, because one thing Eli Holstein has done is made bad throws in critical situations, mostly the red zone, that he wanted to make the change. It's a gutsy move because of all the, you know, preseason hype about Holstein, the money they're paying him. But now, all of a sudden, that ends. And I don't know if he's ever going to get his job back. He might. I mean, this kid might go through.
Once you make
a commitment to a true freshman, I think he's your commitment moving forward. And so that then leads to this question. What happens at the end of the year when Eli Holstein, and I suppose these are one-year NIL deals, does he move on and go to the transfer portal? Or how many people come after Heinzel? How many people say, hey, we got to, you know, because it's wide open.
That's the question. If this kid looks as electric. And again, it's against Boston College.
Right, and it's early. And
he's going to have some major tests coming up.
Right, especially this week at Florida State, where it's a nasty environment down there.
There's no question about that. We're going to find out about him. But there seemed to be something about him. He had 323 yards, four touchdowns, no picks. He's the first ACC freshman, according to ESPN, to hit those benchmarks in his first career start since Deshaun Watson did it 11 years ago against North Carolina. I was just dumbfounded watching this kid. I guess one of my questions was, and I know Holstein has been pretty good at times. He's even thrown for 300 yards a couple times this year, was how could you keep this under wraps? Well, like, why weren't, and maybe this is a guy who, one of those guys who does it when the lights are on, but how did, he seems like he's been a secret since he got there. Bob, he was fun to watch, man. Some of the scrambles he made, he's ducking under people. He's running over people.
Yep.
He's throwing on the run. He's throwing against his body. He's going crazy after plays. Limits, I love this guy. At least one game in.
He played great. It's nice to see a coach be able to give a quarterback some freedom to be able to go out there and make some plays. But the story about the whole entire thing for me is Eli Holstein. I mean, you are paying this guy a lot of money now to sit on the bench, but you have to.
Isn't the bigger Heinschel story?
Has to be
isn't
the guy.
Bigger story Heinschel and teams trying to poach him, like Bob says? That I'm to me is the way bigger
if
story.
If he shows that he's really good as a true freshman, he'll have offers from everybody.
Oh.
And then what? So that's why Pitt.
If he comes up with the Johnny Football money sign after a touchdown, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that on the showdown last night, Bob. Like, could you transfer the money that Holstein was going to get for next year?
Yeah, we looked into that.
If you bring him back,
Holstein goes to his bank account, all the money's gone.
You can't.
Yeah, they went to it was transferred into an account. Last name is Heinzel or Heinzel.
Yeah, they took the money.
You're going to have to check on that. This is great stuff, though, Bob. Not for Holstein, of course. But I didn't think I was going to be perked up on Pitt football at all this season. Now I am riveted to their next game.
And I think Pat Narduzzi, looked at it and said, well, this is the time to do it. They came off a terrible loss to Louisville where they blew a 17-0 lead at home, and mistakes were a big part of it. And so he has seen Heinschel in practice. He's seen him in training camp. I think he knew what he was capable of. The question was, when do you pull the trigger on that move? And he did. And now, once you do, I guess whenever you make a move like this, you're telling the other guy, Eli Holstein, that this is our quarterback now moving forward. Unless he's so bad, then you have to go back and bring him
in. That could always happen.
Absolutely.
It could. But what I saw, I don't think so.
I thought they were going to make a change. I thought they brought in this Marco Gonzalez guy to be, he was a Cade Bell guy at Western Carolina. He was supposed to be a guy who, and I thought if they're going to make a change, they'd go to him. But again, those who cover the team had thought all along that Heinschel was going to get a chance at some point.
Heinschel. At Florida State at noon, high noon this Saturday, and then later in the year, Pitt finishes off home against Notre Dame, at number 13, Georgia Tech, and then home against maybe the best team in the country in Miami. So we're going to find out about this kid. We may find out a lot more this week, and the bubble might burst, Bob. Midnight might hit, but my eyes told me there could be something special here. That was fun. That was a fun watch.
And if it does play out that he's really good in his freshman year, then you would say to yourself, this is why it's difficult to be a coach in college athletics right now in football, because now you have to worry about, you recruited him to come here.
Right.
You made commitments to him
to come here.
He made commitments to you. And what happens? Now you got to recommit all of that and make sure he doesn't go someplace else.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. That's
either get in the game or get out of the game, as they say.
Yeah.
Right? If Pitt is not in a position to step up and match that, then what are we doing here?
Well, you can take the money you gave Eli Holstein next year and give it to him if that's...
And more if it looks like he's going to be a star.
But it's only one game, so we should keep that in mind. We'll see.
There's some
really big games coming up for them.
I know. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your thoughts on those two college football stories. What would you do if you're Penn State with James Franklin? Now, Corey Geiger, I enjoy his coverage. He feels like at the end of the year, you come to a financial agreement, a settlement with James Franklin.
Yes.
Or does he go the Kevin Stallings route and say, you're going to give me every penny of that $46 million
buyout. I would
bet
he goes that way.
Yeah. Well, no. Down 27-7 at the half to UCLA, I wouldn't call that great.
Regardless, he's got to be gone by the end of the year. He has to be gone.
Unless he runs the table, right?
And wins, like, the national championship?
No.
I mean, if he beats Ohio State and Indiana and gets into the playoff, I think he's going to be safe and probably should be, unless they get destroyed in the first
round. He will be safe. He should not be safe. This is never going to get over the hump.
But you're also expecting a next coach to come in and recruit the way he recruits and do.
I mean, limits. He got to the semi. Sorry, Bob.
Yeah,
go
he
ahead.
Did. That's what my point is. I think sometimes you can get greedy here with your expectations. And I understand they haven't won significant games. They haven't won Ohio State. They haven't beaten Michigan on a regular basis.
Playoff
all
games are significant. He won two of them.
He won two. And if they do get in this year, I don't see any way they would move on from him.
Well, they should. They've plateaued. They've reached basically rock bottom in my mind with this UCLA game. He always would lose
then
to the good teams.
If you don't believe that there's any hope, then why not fire him now?
Because I feel like that would do even more damage, where players are just going to start entering the transfer portal and they'll be opt-outs and say, you know what, well, then if we're just conceding the season at this point, then we're just not going to play. And that's going to create an even bigger problem.
Or maybe they'll be girded for the rest of the season. I wouldn't right now, but I figured that Limits, when he came in here for the soliloquy, was ready to fire James Franklin, Bob. Didn't you?
Yes. I mean, he came in here. He sat in that chair very
He was loaded for bear.
He had his – I thought for sure he was going to do that. You have softened 24 hours
later.
Well,
I do want him fired at the end of the year regardless of what happens, unless they win a national championship.
Well, what if they get to the national championship and lose in overtime to Alabama?
I still would want him gone.
Oh, come on.
No,
and we've had this conversation
that?
Before.
That's ridiculous.
But again, you're expecting the next guy to come in and win a national championship immediately then.
Maybe not immediately, but I think that there would be a better chance. I don't think the next coach is going to go 4-21 against top 20 opponents.
I hear Paul Christ is available.
You can also make this
Nick Saban, you want to come off the couch and coach again? Off the game day
Michael
set?
Michael Haywood is on the market now. You want him?
Maybe they'll poach.
Remember him, Bob?
Oh, yes. Ding, ding, ding. I have a little breaking news here.
What?
This is interesting to me because I've been following this case. Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears says his office has now filed a felony charge of battery against Mark Sanchez for his alleged role in an attack on a 69-year-old man over the weekend. Did you see the pictures of that man who's in the hospital?
What happened? Does Sanchez have like an inner Hannibal Lecter? That was a frightening
when
story.
When I first heard it, I thought somebody jumped him and wanted his money or something like that. Didn't know it was going to turn out like this, and now they're going after him in a felony way.
I mean, you don't know what really happened until all
the video,
the everything's in, but there is video, correct?
Yeah, and that's what put him over the top.
And the other guy, yes, I saw the
oh, 69
shots
years
of his
old, too,
horrible
I mean.
Injuries. What is going on?
I don't know. He had to be extremely intoxicated, I would imagine, or like you say, Hannibal Lecter, I don't know.
And you thought the butt fumble was going to be the worst thing that ever happened, Bob. Limits, did you see that story?
I mean, I don't think you could miss the story. It was ridiculous.
What happened? I'm stunned. He seems like a laid-back dude, doesn't he?
Yeah, and he had a great gig going. You know, you make choices, there are consequences. And I think that's what happened. You better know what you're doing. But again, if you're intoxicated, it still falls on you. You can't walk around and beating people up, especially 70-year-old men.
It's
ridiculous.
Crazy. It's disturbing.
It is disturbing.
Depending, you know, I guess we have to wait until every fact is in here, but it certainly is trending, and regardless, it's disturbing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you don't
just
ever want
to be in
that
those
situation.
Shots of that guy. All right, Bob, we'll take calls on that. What do you do with Franklin, and how about Pitt's new quarterback? And as a Pitt fan, you're right about that, Bob. It's like as soon as you see somebody who might be a star at a place like Pitt, but honestly anywhere, just about anywhere, your mind can't help but go to, oh no, how long is he going to be here? That's just that's living in reality in right. college sports these days.
You never would have thought that originally. Now you do. And he has every decision to make that if he wants to move on, he can move on. I mean, look at the quarterbacks who were involved in Pitt's game on Saturday. Both were Alabama guys, and they got out of there, and they got deals elsewhere. So Boy, exactly. Austin, your friend Dom DiTomaso says John Gruden should be Penn State's head coach.
Get back to the drawing board there, intern Dom.
I didn't insult Bob.
I didn't insult Bob.
Do you have that? I miss Dom.
You miss Dom?
He shouldn't be allowed to weigh in when he's still at Syracuse, not till he gets back to the station. That kid is a legend, Bob.
I didn't insult Bob. I didn't insult Bob. I didn't insult Bob.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Limits, why don't we hit the phone lines, if you don't mind? We had some heavy discussion there on James Franklin and his future, and also on Pitt and their new quarterback, Mason Heinschel.
Heinschel.
I can say that now.
Heinschel.
Who do we got?
I would love to, Joe. Let's start with Marty. He's in Frick Park. He wants to talk about our friend James Franklin.
Hey, Marty.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, Austin, I just had a spirited debate. He's a great kid. Hey, I agree with Bob. There's no way they're firing James Franklin. He has too good of a resume. Now, does he have a great resume? Joe's ready to say, of course not. He's lost too many big games. But he's been in 8 major bowls and or playoff games in the last 11 years. As the CEO of Penn State business, football business, he's highly successful. But it's a second-tier program. I've been watching Penn State for 60 years, guys. I've had a lot of disappointing games. Bob, do you remember when they couldn't get in from the one-yard line against Alabama?
Oh, I remember a lot of things that didn't go right in those situations,
right.
Yes.
Who made that tackle for Alabama?
It's going to be an awful year.
Who made the tackle?
Now, if they go 6-6 next year, then we have something to talk about.
No. Okay, now we're talking about something different. If James Franklin doesn't make the playoff, and especially if he really goes off the rails here at like 7-5, I truly believe he's going to be fired and should be fired.
No.
You disagree with
way.
That?
No, totally disagree.
Based on what? Isn't the idea here, based on Franklin's own words, to get this program to a, quote, elite level? And hasn't the university gone to great lengths to give him the highest paid coordinators, certainly defensively, that we've ever seen? What's the excuse now? How
Joe,
can you justify
Joe,
keeping him?
Next year. Joe, let me finish here. He'll be on the clock next year for sure. He's not getting fired off one bad year. They were in the college semis last year. He's not getting fired off a bad year.
I disagree, but we can agree to disagree. What do you think, Bob?
Oh, I said what I said. I don't.
Do you think he would be fired
if they don't
make the playoff?
I don't know. I think they'll approach him and say, "We need to make a change. And how are you wanting to do this?" And he'll say, "I want all my money, and that's it. We'll form our company that way." I do think they will, just because and the caller's right here too. I mean, it is a business, and they do rake in a lot of money based on that business. However, the business at its very best has to include a national championship at some point. He's been there a long time. I appreciate the recruiting and what he's been able to do, but the on-the-field coaching leaves a lot to be desired at times. And I think we saw that against UCLA. If somehow they don't get into the playoff this year, I think they will make a change.
See, he frames it as...
If they do get in the playoff, I think they won't make a change.
He frames it as one bad year. Some people would frame it as one bad loss. But when you're almost never winning the biggest games, then that one bad year and that one bad loss carry enormous weight, don't they?
Well, just look at the pressure that even a guy like Ryan Day, he was on the verge of being fired had he not won a national championship this year. That's how much the expectations are there. I think James Franklin is a victim of his own success in that he has created a recruiting machine. They bring in some really high-end talent. Then the next level is getting that talent to win. major games. And last year, yes, they won two playoff games, and that's a step in the right direction. Given all the hype of this year, though, so far what we've seen is massively underachieving.
I mean, I would like to ask someone who's more educated on this than me, but I have to imagine if they miss the playoff, and especially if they wind up losing to Ohio State and Indiana and going something like 8-4 or 7-5, that the donor pressure, that the outside pressure would be enormous to fire James Franklin. Am I wrong about that?
No, I think it will be enormous. Yes, you're right.
It's enormous now. Like, this is the, there's been a lot of like the student section, every big game will chant fire Franklin and all that. But from even what I've seen in the media, this is the most heat. Like, it is a burning skillet right now of people basically all in agreement that this guy has to go.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Listen to the Pomp and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Next.
All right, let's go to Scott. He's in Oakland.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Scott?
Okay. So let me just go on my rant here. First of all, Joe Starkey, condolences to you, sir. I went through the same thing. I lost both my parents back in 2014. I get what you're going through. Again, my condolences. And
I appreciate that.
Your family.
Thank you.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. Okay, let me go on my rant. How can you not prepare for a team in any level of football, regardless of how bad they were coming into this game? How can you not be prepared to play a team on the road like UCLA? I do not understand it. It is absolutely disgusting. Now, let me get into this a little further. The three games they had to open the season, all of them cupcake games, they did not cover the spread in any of those three games. I went to a game a couple years ago up at Penn State when they played Rutgers. They were struggling in that game before they pulled away late. When they were struggling, they made some horrible offensive calls. I started ranting and screaming in the stands how every year is the same thing. We start off 6-0, 7-0. We wind up losing to Ohio State and Michigan, and we get a wonderful consolation gift of a trip to Florida during the holidays to basically play a nothing game. And right now, and I thought of this while I was waiting on hold, James Franklin is college football's version of Mike Tomlin. He lives in his fears. The play call that he made on fourth down when they had the opportunity to tie the game at the end of regulation against UCLA. There are teams here in the WPIAL who could do a better.
Well, that's another example. That's another example of them not believing in Aller. I mean, I realize he's exactly the one who ran the ball. More specifically, not in his arm talent, his ability to pass the ball. Maybe they have reasons for that. But, Bob, when you have a guy like that, if you're not going to put the ball in his hands and let him throw it around and wing it around, what are you doing?
Yeah, and I know they have great running backs, but there's a way to utilize them in the passing game also.
Yeah.
I want to see more. You know, we were told that this offense was going to be dynamic. Well, what have we seen from it so far? Yeah, they have nice players at a lot of positions, an offensive line that should be stud. If that's not a reason to utilize your quarterback, I don't know what is. You have to trust him. You have to make plays down the field. They seem very reluctant to do it. And as a result, it may have affected him and how he handles his own position now. So, I don't know. The whole thing is just ridiculous to think that they lost that game. I could not believe watching it. I said I was going to watch it for a half. It'd be over. Well, the half was 27-7, and I watched the debacle at the end of the first half, and I thought, these guys are being outcoached by guys who haven't done what they're supposed to on the other side.
It was a fireable offense.
It was awful.
It really was. I think he's done just enough to earn the rest of the season reprieve, and I'm sure that the buyout is obviously factoring in here. But it was that game was a fireable offense.
For a team that was favored to win by almost four touchdowns, yes, and had just come off a loss to a Big Ten team that they should have beaten, actually. It was. But, again, this decision normally doesn't happen midway through a season. It happens at the end. that he has a chance here. And if he doesn't redeem himself and win out, then he's probably going to be gone.
Sunny today and a high of John Stallworth, 82, a low of Marv Kellum, 54. Mm. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Way off the topic, I sure am enjoying the Toronto Blue Jays absolutely hammering the Yankees. Are you, Bob?
I was interested in watching Cam. How do you say his name?
Be very careful.
Cam Schlittler.
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 Schlittler. Bob, that didn't come out right.
It didn't come out right. No, but my point was
The New York Post had to have had a headline that said, holy Schlittler.
Holy Schlittler.
Yeah.
He was great in that game against Boston, but yeah, they're getting outclassed by Toronto, which is a team that didn't even have Bo Bichette in their lineup, and yet they scored how many runs in the last two games?
I don't know, 17, 20, something like that.
They're a very good team. It could be Milwaukee and Toronto in the World Series. Would you like that, Joe?
No, I would love that, Bob, and thank you for asking. Coming up. Wait, is there a pit call, did you say? I'm curious what that person
Heinchel.
Has to say. Heinchel.
Yes, we do have a pit call.
From who?
Could you just give us a moment for the system to reboot for a moment, as I wanted to make sure that if Bob said something improper, we had it off the airwaves.
Oh, my God.
Thank you. I didn't know I said something improper.
It
I was just trying to say the guy's name.
It sounded precarious.
It sounded very close, and, you know, you want to be safe than sorry.
Are we back? We don't have to go to the pit
call. We have about 15 seconds, 20 seconds.
We're also going to talk about the Steelers, but at the top of the hour, Bob, I want to talk a little Penguins. They are about to embark on a very interesting journey here. Is it going to be a Titanic-like journey from the beginning? Are they going to be better than we think, like the Capitals? Why did Kyle Dubas tell us he was going to choose the best goalie and then not choose the best goalie? There's a lot of questions about this team, and all of it, to me anyway, is happening in the context of what Pat Brisson said. It's happening in the Sidney Crosby sort of vortex here. That, to me, is coloring the beginning of the season. I'm going to ask you about all of that next, but first, Limits, can we finally take the pit caller?
Well, let's take the pit caller. What does he think about Mason Heinchel?
Who is he?
This is Kevin. Kevin is in the North Hills, and he would like to talk about Pitt.
Hey, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Kevin.
And now Kevin's not there.
And no.
After all of that.
Oh, there we go. There's
What's
Kevin.
Up?
Yes. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, that last call is a perfect segue for Heinchel. Short fourth down plays, Cade Bell puts the ball in his hands, gets him out of the pocket. He can either run or make a short pass. They did it twice. This kid has mobility. He can see downfield. Obviously, it's against Boston College. Has good quick feet, doesn't throw off of his back foot, and
he throws off any foot. That kid was unbelievable off platform. Let me ask you a question, Dr. Kornfeder. As a Pitt fan, are you suddenly, when you see a performance like that and you think, wow, this kid could be really good, is that accompanied, as Bob mentioned, by a fear of him getting poached after the season?
No, I think this kid came to Pitt early. He's from Ohio. I think he'll stay. I mean, I think, especially if the program has success, I think he will stay. And those are my thoughts. I mean, I really think this kid is here to stay. He's going to resurrect this program as long as he doesn't get hurt, because he's all over the place on the field. And I definitely think
out of the goodness of his heart, or why do you think he'll stay? Because people are going to be waving checks in front of him.
Yeah, obviously they'll give him some money, but he's from Ohio. He graduated high school.
What does that have to do with anything? People from Ohio like money too.
That's true, but he came here early. I think given the proximity of where he kind of grew up, you never know. But if this team has success with him, and it looks like they're going to have more success with him next year,
It's only one game now. I want to see a lot more. As Joe said, there are a bunch of games coming up at tough facilities. We'll see what he has, but if he is this good, if you're painting a picture that he's going to be somebody who's going to be tremendous for them moving forward, and he might be, that's going to come at a major cost. And Pitt has to come up with more NIL money. They will have to do this, or else somebody else will come in, and I don't care who it is. I remember talking to Eli once about this. You know, I mean, the money was good.
Eli Manning?
No, Eli Holstein.
I know.
Just about, you know, because he was down in Alabama. All these guys who go there, a lot of guys down there, but they also know they're not going to play half of them, and they have to figure out what's next. But if you're recruited by Alabama, Then all of a sudden, people think, hey, this guy has potential. Why would they recruit you and then give you some money to go elsewhere? So money's always going to be an issue with this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.